I may not have a license to kill, but liberalism dies a little every time I pull the trigger on it. This is a conservative's perspective.
Nastier, harsher atmosphere everywhere, more abuse and bother boy behavior, less friendliness and tolerance and respect for opponents. All right, but what we never hear about extremism is its advantages. Well, the biggest advantage of extremism is that it makes you feel good because it provides you with enemies. Let me explain. The great thing about having enemies is that you can pretend that all the badness in the whole world is in your enemies and all the goodness in the whole world is in you. Attractive, isn't it? So, if you have a lot of anger and resentment in you anyway, and you therefore enjoy abusing people, then you can pretend that you're only doing it because these enemies of yours are such very bad persons. And that if it wasn't for them, you'd actually be good-natured and courteous and rational all the time. So, if you want to feel good, become an extremist. Okay, now you have a choice. If you join the hard left, they'll give you their list of authorized enemies. Almost all kinds of authority, especially the police, the city, Americans, judges, multinational corporations, public schools, furriers, newspaper owners, fox hunters, generals, class traitors, and, of course, moderates. Or, if you'd rather be an extremist on the hard right, no problem, fine, you still get a lovely list of enemies, only they're different ones. Noisy minority groups, unions, Russia, weirdos, demonstrators, welfare sponges, meddlesome clergy, peaceniks, the BBC, strikers, social workers, communists, and, of course, moderates and upstart actors. Now, once you're armed with one of these super lists of enemies, you can be as nasty as you like and yet feel your behaviors morally justified. So you can strut around abusing people and telling them you could eat them for breakfast and still think of yourself as a champion of the truth, a fighter for the greater good, and not the rather sad paranoid schizoid that you really are.
Hey everybody, James Bostic here. A conservative's perspective on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Mojo50.com. Well, John Cleese there. Oh, by the way, this is a Monday. A Monday evening, about 8:30, as we go to microphone here in the Mountain State. And I'll tell you what, yesterday I was just feeling really lazy. We started our Thanksgiving vacation last Friday. That was our last day of school, and it was a snow day, which was particularly a blessing. So anyway, been on vacation for a couple of days now, and I was just really lazy yesterday. So I'm laying in bed. It's about 9:30 Sunday morning, and I'm thinking to myself, now that we're doing Mojo with this RSS feed thing, which I know I've told you guys, I'm freed up from that compartmentalized two-segment or any segment show. I can just go nonstop, and I really like that, because sometimes those random neural firings hit, and they might be gone at the bottom of the hour when you come back from the bumper music. So I really like this a lot better. But also, I don't necessarily have to put it in on a Sunday. I can put it in on a Monday. I've got a lot. I need to find a place and do it, regularly, at least, one day a week. And but I'm not exactly sure what it is. So I'm really digging the freedom. So it's about, it's about 20 till 9 on the Monday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming, people. Are you getting ready? Are you ready? Are you traveling? They say this is going to be the biggest, most traveled Thanksgiving holiday in the history of all Thanksgiving holidays everywhere in the Milky Way galaxy. So it's a pretty big deal. And as usual, and I think they say that like every year, it's just more people traveling. The weather's going to get bad because it's November. We're moving into the end of autumn and the beginning of winter here in a couple of weeks. So, and like I said, we just had about 4 inches of snow last Friday here in the Mountain State. It's gone now. Today the temperature was in the mid-50s, but we're going to get cold. And on Thanksgiving Day, it's going to be rainy and probably about 40 degrees. I don't care. I love it. I'm happy. It's Thanksgiving. I got like 9 drumsticks to smoke, a nice turkey breast. We're going to have stuffing, cowboy beans, roasted red potatoes, except they're not going to be roasted. They're going to be fried. Just a lot of, and let's see, what else we got? Cowboy beans, biscuits, stuffing, gravy, a nice turkey breast. I think I mentioned that. And then hopefully, all things being what they are, and I'll truly be thankful if that's the case, banana pudding for dessert. Absolutely. I hope you guys are ready for it. It's going to be great. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. And I don't think we should let any opportunity. We should be thankful every day. But on Thanksgiving Day, we need to take extra time to reflect upon all those blessings that we have. And we got so many of them. Not dead air, man. I'm just thinking about gratitude, thankfulness. So, good to be here with you on this Monday. Even haven't done, you know, I used to do shows all the time. I had about 3 going. I did 2 hours on Tuesday night, another 2 hours on Friday, then back to Thursday night, and then an hour recorded show on First Red State and then Mojo. So, this is kind of cool. This is kind of cool doing radio at night. Back to John Cleese. I heard that. That came across my social media sometime in the last couple of days. It's probably Facebook. So, I listened to it and I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely. I can own that. I can totally own that. And he's remarkably perceptive in he talks about, you know, the enemies that you have if you're a right wing extremist. He listed all that and they're spot on. And I was really, you know, and then he said, of course, upstart actors. Now, just to give you a little reference, this was probably from about maybe 20, 25 years ago. And maybe even longer, maybe even 30, because he looked pretty youthful in it. But it just goes to show, you know, art oftentimes does imitate life. And he was spot on with it. And at one point or another, when he's listing the enemies of the right, the people that the right are irritated with, I went, yeah, 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 yeah. And I thought, yeah, one time or another, man, I could own every single one of those. And the people that are locked in that's my constituency, because I was locked in that for a long, long time. But in the last couple of years, I don't know, maybe since I guess maybe, you know, since Barack Obama and all those hustlers ran their game. But, you know, the Clintons did it too. And in those days, I looked at these things solely through the prism of us, them, right and wrong. And naturally, they were wrong. And, of course, they were. But you get where I'm going with that. I remember there was a conservative guy, he was a talk radio guy. His name was Jerry Doyle, and Jerry Doyle was on a killer science fiction program called Babylon 5, and after that he got into radio, he got into podcasting and conservative radio, and he said this, and I'll never forget it: you have 10% of left-wing extremists and 10% of right-wing extremists trying to tell the remaining 80% center-left, center-right people what to do. And I think that's probably the clearest way to put it. Okay, extremism, one way or another. Yeah, okay. But, and it's been a long time ago, since that was probably 20 years ago when I heard that, but it always stuck with me. And he's right. And it's, I'm not exactly sure what has to be done or what lessons need be learned before we find a way to achieve, you know, equilibrium politically, culturally, socially. You get the idea. I don't know how that happens, because everything has gotten so completely tribal on both sides. It's going to be tough, man. And the people that are going to want to try and moderate are going to be met with a lot of derision and scorn, because this stuff's been embedded for a couple of generations. And there are certain people that it benefits. And if you want to know who benefits from this 10% either side trying to control and navigate the 80% in between, look who wants to maintain the status quo. Look who is the most resistant to newer ideas. And I think with the election, and it's becoming more and more clear just how amazing and astounding this comeback victory was. It was a landslide. I mean, an absolute landslide. And what does that mean? He won the electoral, 300 and some electoral votes, 312 electoral votes. He won the popular vote by over a million votes. 1.4 million, I think, maybe more. Now, what does that say? To me, that says the American people want some change. Some serious change. And this election, and the election of Donald Trump, of course, to the presidency once again, is a mandate for change. It absolutely is. Now, there have been a lot of guys out there, and you'll hear them, and they've been saying, they haven't said it, as more of the details come out about just exactly how, you know, just what a tremendous shellacking that the Democrats got. They haven't been saying it a whole lot. They've been trying to disabuse people of the idea that this is not a mandate for change. Get that out of your mouth. Hakeem Jeffries, I think, was one that says this was in no way a mandate. And then, of course, maybe Whoopi or Poopy or Flappy, one of the girls over there on The View, I think they said the same thing. And a couple of news heads talked about it. But that was all. Haven't heard much about that this week. Look, it was a mandate for change. It was a landslide. Again, 312 electoral votes. The popular vote by 1,400,000. That's 1.5 million more votes. Okay, he slam dunked that. He slam dunked the electoral. Look, in the United States, there are 3,242 counties or county-like units among the 50 states that make up the United States of America. 3,242 counties. Of those 3,242 counties, Kamala Harris won 382. Out of 3,242 counties, Kamala Harris won 324. That's a mandate. That's a butt whooping. That's a schlonging. That's a take you to the woodshedding. That's a spank. It's a mandate. And don't let anybody tell you any difference. Now, they're going to hold on to this for a while, and I know that they're still. And look, they're not going to stop, okay? Hydra still has a couple of heads left, and there'll be a couple more pop up here and there. And we've got to be on the lookout for them. But as Boyd Crowder said, I'll allow it was a good day. I went back and checked. It's 324. I wasn't sure of that number. That's why I said it kind of weird. But I just checked it out. Yeah. Of the 3,242 counties in the United States, Kamala Harris won 324. That's it. That is flipping ass it, man. And by the way, has anybody seen Cammy and Joe? I mean, not Joe, Tim. Tim just fell off the earth, man. I think he did one post-game, post-election dissection, post-mortem, and he split. That was it for him. He was gone. Like Tim Keene, like Howard Dean, never to be remembered, and probably would prefer not to be remembered. And something else I'm thankful for. I really am. I would have been thankful if Kamala Harris had won. Wouldn't have mattered. I still got plenty of things to be grateful and appreciative for, and I would have been. But this makes it a little sweeter. And I'm not trying to gloat. I know there are a lot of people. Man, there were a lot of people. And I know you probably saw this on social media. They just went apey. I mean, they just went just crazy. And I'm going to talk about it again. I talked about it on a show a week ago. Thanksgiving's coming. It's this week, man. It's just days away. And these people are still, you know, they got to weed up. And it's going to make for a tense time in a lot of places. And I don't want to, I hate saying this, but it's going to be incumbent on us. Like I said a couple weeks ago, it's going to be incumbent upon us to, you know, I don't want to say do the right thing, but we're going to have an abundance of tolerance and patience. And it could get ugly. I bet there are going to be homes where it gets ugly, and that disappoints and saddens me because it really shouldn't. So I'm afraid there are going to be a lot of friction, a lot of tension in a lot of households over the holidays that there really shouldn't be, that there's no need for. But that's politics today, and I learned the hard way a few years ago because it cost me a really good friendship. I've talked about this before, and I'm still kind of thinking about it over the holidays, and I just want to share it with you again. And the secret that I have found, and I only found out this secret recently, within the last couple of years, but you can't take anyone's politics seriously, including your own. Yeah, it's a buttress. It's a bulwark of the things you believe in and part of your value system. I get all that, and that's cool. It should be. That's a very American way to look at things. But should it be the overriding, over encompassing thing in your life? No. But nowadays, you know, the media and politicians themselves and agitators, and you know, they keep this stuff whipped up to a fever pitch almost 24, you know, with a 24/7 news cycle. They really do a good job of it, and they have for a long, long time. I think we're going to start to see that change, though. I think they've cried wolf one too many times, and there are going to be some changes. But those people on that side of the aisle, and maybe a couple of people on this side of the aisle who benefit from what's been going on for the last 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 40 years in Congress, in Senate. Those are the people. The people who want to leave the system the way it is are the ones who benefit from it the most. And when someone comes up with a good idea, you know, there's just a lot of resistance to changing things. Thank God it's either, you know, for good or bad. But the trick, and when I say don't take people's politics seriously, is because if you do, and you look at that person only through the prism of politics, it could become very problematic. Because once you start doing that, then you're going to start to see some reciprocity. They're going to do the same thing to you. You know, you dog somebody out all the time because of their liberal leftist beliefs. And maybe you got a right to, maybe you don't, I don't know. They're going to start to respond in kind, and they're going to start to try to stereotype you. They're going to start to look at you through the prism of politics. And I think, no matter what the prism that you look at somebody through, or more importantly, the prism that someone defines themselves, or prisms that someone defines themselves with, is kind of important. Anybody, I think, at all, I don't care what it is, what facet of their personality it is that they define themselves with, if they're only defining themselves with one facet of who they are, it's pretty boring. Because you don't really get to see anything else. You know, I don't care what it is, whether it's, you know, your politics, your affiliation for sports, your orientation, that whole deal, man. I mean, if that's all it is, and if that's all you want to be perceived as, like I said, it's, you know, kind of flat and one-dimensional, because there's so much more to people. I mean, they're really complex things. In some ways, we're pretty simplistic, pretty sophomoric, pretty juvenile. So, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I know I'm going to, man. It's been a great thing in our family, Thanksgiving celebrations. And that's not surprising. It should be a great thing in everybody's family, but not always. But overall, I got to say, in my family, we have a lot of really great Thanksgiving memories, especially in the last 10 years or so that my mom was alive. She loved the big meals. She loved the family. We didn't have a particularly big family, just my brother, his wife and girls, myself, and mom there. Of course, when I was married, you know, my wife and stepdaughter. But, you know, but even with that, our family was kind of small. But we always had great Thanksgivings. In the 60s and 70s, when myself and my cousins were children, you know, we were going there. They were coming here. Everybody got together at some place, usually at my grandmother's, as you know, that's how the mythology goes. Well, that's really how it was in my family. And it was fantastic, man. And my mother and her brothers and sisters, you know, everybody was talking and laughing at once. You never knew who was talking to who, and it was great. And the kids got along well. And it was just loud and boisterous, and there were a lot of laughs and a lot of great food, and it was a swell time. Now, you know, we're still having a good time with it. My brother and his family are down in Brazil. Yeah, they're down in Brazil. Went to go see Big Jesus and get some pictures for a few days. So our Thanksgiving will be when he comes back over the weekend. They're going to get back on Thanksgiving Day, but I know they're going to be exhausted from the trip. So we're going to let them rest a little bit, and then we're all going to get together over the weekend and have a terrific time. And I hope that's what it is for you. I really do. I hope that's what it is for you. I've been blessed in my family and in my lifetime with a lot of great Thanksgivings. 62 of them, if we think about it, because they've all been really pretty good. And I was happy with it. We talk about the mandate, and we've talked about it a couple different times, and a lot of people, again, 3,242 counties, she won 324. Mandate, okay? Let's put it to you this way. And this is, if it was AstroTurf, if it was contrived, if it was rigged, what I'm getting ready to share with you wouldn't have mattered. July 21st, 2024. The Democrats booted her out, and she wound up being the nominee. July 21st, 2024, to November 5th, 2024, when the Hindenburg crashed, when the Titanic sunk, okay, when the Great Chicago Fire took place, whatever other, the great earthquake of all three. Anyway, 107 days. 107 days. Now, in that 107 days, it's been reported, and the number may have gone up by now because this article is about a week old. The Harris campaign spent over $1 billion. You heard me right. $1 billion. The campaign spent nearly $9.3 million per day. What was the outcome? She lost all the swing states, the Electoral College, and the popular vote. All the swing states, the Electoral College, and the popular vote. Okay, wait a minute. I got a correction here. She won 382 counties. Whereas, I had said, I think 324, got it wrong. She won 382 counties, whereas President Trump won six times that many. 2,552 counties. And they still wound up, okay, this $1 billion that they couldn't stretch out for 107 days, at the end of the campaign, they're $20 million in debt. And they're still asking for donations to get bailed out of this. The Washington Examiner took the lead on this, and so did Fox News. $1 million was paid to Oprah Winfrey's production house, Harpo, for a celebrity field event. A marketing agency, Precision Strategies, and the pro-Democrat campaign consultancy called Ethos Organizing also received handsome consultation fees. Another agency, Village Marketing, received almost $4 million to recruit social media influencers to boost Harris online. Another agency, Viva Creative, got $1.8 million. Production Management One, an event management firm, got $1.7 million. Magic Productions, a Wisconsin-based company, received $2.3 million. Handsome payments were also made out to firms like Vox Productions, Temple University, Wizard Studios North, and the Park Hyatt Chicago. The campaign paid over $100 million to various consulting and marketing firms, including Gambit Strategies, DuPont Circle Strategies, and Bully Pulpit Interactive. A six-figure amount was spent for Harris's appearance on the Call Her Daddy podcast. $15 million paid for star-studded campaign events. The campaign paid $4 million to Advanced Aviation to fly on private jets. And a host of celebrities helped Kamala Harris's bid for the presidency. George Clooney, man, I bet they're really loving him in Hollywood. I bet he's laying low, too. George led the coup against Joe Biden. Subsequently, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Jennifer Lopez, all publicly endorsed Kamala Harris. As Election Day came closer, Harris received endorsements from A-list celebrities, including some who were known to be reticent about their politics. Likely, these endorsements were motivated by pecuniary gains. Now, almost $10 million a day, the Harris campaign people spent on all these different things that they felt would add to her being elected. $10 million a day. $1 billion. I don't know about you, but you know, that's some serious money to go through in 107 days. To get your ass handed to you. Okay, when they talk, you remember when they talked before the election about the too big to rig deal? Okay, there we go. This is what it was. Do you think that's not a call for a mandate? Bet your sweet Bippy it's a call for a mandate. But it's just the start, because there are a lot of guys left and right that are still in Congress, both sides of the aisle, that are going to dig in. They're going to try and obstruct. And we can't allow this to happen. And we're going to have to stay hot on them. It's the only way. You may not get through, but you got to call. You got to leave messages. Burn them up, man. Burn them up. If they're not doing what we want, and believe me, guys, this is a mandate for change. 380 counties to 2,500 counties? Come on. But here's the thing, going back to the Thanksgiving thing, Mackie. I know I keep coming back to that. And the people that were so heavily invested in all this, okay, because they were told, all right, you know, they were tuned in to these left-wing echo chambers. They were tuned in to CNN, to NBC, to MSNBC, to ABC, CBS. You know, they were tuned in to all of them. And all these cats were telling them the same thing. We got it. Even with the substitute, we got it. It's nothing but Nazis over there. It's nothing but He-Man, women-hating, goose-stepping SOBs that are going to try and kill your kids and destroy all the water and air. And they believed him. They believed him. The true believers, that is. The people that were invested in that. And now they can't believe what's happened. You've seen the libs of TikTok. You've seen how these people are freaking out. Secretary of State, no less. United States Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, in the weeks after the election, coming up to now, had therapy cry sessions. He hosted, no, I'm not making this shit up, go check it out. He did. He hosted therapy cry sessions for people who were so frickin' butthurt over losing the election. Rob Reiner, that big sissy, that meathead, left Twitter, and he's on this thing called Blueski. No. Blue Sky. The first time I saw it, I thought it was Blusky. I don't know. Go figure. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what it is. It's a left-wing ex-witter, whatever, twixter. And now he's checked himself into a loony bin. He's checked himself into a hospital for the very, very nervous because he's just so freaked out over what happened. And Donald Trump won the election. And it looks like Ellen DeGeneres really did leave the country. I think she's living in England these days. But only for a little while. Only for a little while. She's, you know, there's absolutely no relevance over there. And she'll be back. Kathy Griffin. I wonder what's going to happen to Kathy Griffin. You remember that crazy? She did the decapitated, blood-soaked Donald Trump head. You remember that one? And, you know, that was just universal. That was just universal. And then she cried because of all the pushback, because everybody slammed her, everybody roasted her on that, because it was just such an obviously tasteless, crass decision. When you do something like that, you know what? You gotta know that you're smacking the tiger's balls with a stick. You know? You might think it's funny, but that swollen, bald tiger that's ripping you a new one definitely did not. Oh, man. It's kind of sad in a way that these people were so wrapped up in themselves. And what I'm talking about now, I'm talking about the celebrities, about all the heads, about everybody that was invested and just simply thinking, we can fix it so the Democrats win. And then when they didn't win, and these guys, listen, I believe that their disappointment is genuine. All these people that you see wigging out on social media and shaving their heads and doing all this crazy stuff, it's for real. They were so invested in this. They were so convinced. They were so sure. They were so, you know, righteous and justified in what they were doing and thinking. And they were convinced. They were convinced. Because Mika and Joe convinced them. Because young Chunk Yeager and the Young Turks, I mean, he's not really young. Hell, that guy's got to be close to 60. Chunk Yeager and those guys said, yeah, it's good. We're good. Abilio Acosta, Jim Acosta, Jake Tapper, all those guys, Rachel Maddow, oh, my God. Everybody, they were all in on this, man. And if wishing would have made it so, then it would have been, you know, 2020 redux. But it wasn't. It's a new day. The dawn of a new day. Hopefully, a new chapter in America's glorious history. I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. And here's some more good news. Jack Smith, special counsel, has filed a motion to dismiss his criminal case against President-elect Donald Trump surrounding January 6th and the proclaimed to subversion of the 2020 election. He says that Justice Department policy prohibits him from continuing the case, and he's using the election of a sitting president as the excuse to save face. Plus, these guys are scared poopless about Matt Gaetz coming in. So, it's good news. There are those, and apparently they were right. It was always going to end this way. I kind of, you know, and I trusted the opinion of these people because they are reliably informed, and still, all it takes is one crooked judge somewhere, and you know, they can try and run this. At some point, yeah, I guess it would have stopped, but now that he's been elected and all these things were designed to keep Donald Trump from being elected, to try to preclude him from being reelected president, They have failed. They have failed demonstrably. The Trump train just keeps rolling on, baby. Just keeps rolling along. And at the same time, though, you know, you throw enough poop on the wall, some of it's going to stick. And this is kind of like the lawfare. That's the lawfare doctrine. You know, they had the stuff in New York, which I got a feeling it's going to go the way of this as well, because it doesn't have nearly the juice, you know, that Jack Smith had. So I got a feeling that's just going to be kind of shuffled away and forgotten about with very little fanfare and a minimum of embarrassment or humiliation, as though he has any shame, to Judge Juan Merchan. But it's a good thing. It's good. And these guys are going to be getting out of the, you know, a lot of these people, you know, it's kind of like self-draining. It's like they kind of pulled the plug on themselves, because a lot of people within the deep state, within the swamp, within the Hydra organization are bailing out. Not enough, but it is a start. And we'll see more and more of it as time goes on. And it's just, it's a positive thing. And another thing, I'm looking forward to seeing how it's going to work. And a lot of people have raised eyebrows about it. I'm not so sure myself, but I'm willing to give it a shot. The Department of Government Efficiency, the Vivek Ramaswamy, Elon Musk deal, which I think is, let's give it a shot. Let's see what's happening. There are going to be some places where they can trim. Are they going to be able to trim what they say? I don't know. It just depends on how much resistance is in the line. But they have a shot at improving things. There are a lot of people out there that think they can't. They don't think it's a good idea. And some of the status quo stuff, you know, I can understand making a case for it. But in other things, I don't know. We got to start somewhere. We have to try something. We just can't leave it alone and let everything stay static, if that makes any sense. And just a quick reminder here, Thanksgiving inflation, cost of the holiday feast this year, in total 24%. It's up 24% this year than it did before Joe Biden took office. A dinner for 10, which is about right, 12 traditional dishes like turkey, stuffing, cranberries, pumpkin pie, will average about $58.05. That's up from $46.90 at the last Thanksgiving of Donald Trump's first term. The price of a 16-pound turkey on average, about $25.50, up 32% from pre-Biden. It's pricey, man. Maybe next year we'll be able to get another 5 people in for what we're paying for 10 this year. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I really don't like paying these prices with inflation. And, hell, that's 20, you know, that's a quarter. The price has gone up a quarter. The price of a Thanksgiving dinner has gone up a quarter. 25%, you may as well say, from what it was last Thanksgiving of Donald Trump. But I'm blessed in that I can afford to do this. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's we're gonna do it upright, man. We're gonna have a great dinner. We got I got a really nice turkey breast, one of those boneless turkey breasts from Sam. It's already cooked. He's got to heat it up. They're delicious. I've had them before, and they're really good. I've got about 9 turkey legs that I'm going to brine, and then I'm going to wrap them up in bacon, and I'm going to smoke them really good. We're going to have cowboy beans. Do yourself a favor if you haven't. Absolutely. Check that out. Biscuits. We're going to have stuffing. We're going to have gravy. It's going to be a magnificent meal. Some friends from school that I work with, some old family friends. We're going to have a terrific time. We're going to eat like pigs. We're going to laugh. We're going to have a great time. Then we're going to go and we're going to sleep. We're going to jump in recliners and on couches, and we're going to turn on a football game, and we're going to go to sleep. And it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And then when my brother gets back from seeing Big Jesus down there in Sao Paulo, we're going to have another dinner with his family. I get two of them. And we're going to have a lot of laughs and a great time. I'm blessed. Two Thanksgivings. You can't get, you know, you just can't get more favored and blessed than that. And the fact, like I said, you know, I'm blessed with a good job where I can pay for these things and share them. Funny what happens when you get old, man. Funny what happens when you get old. My perspective on Thanksgiving at 62, vastly different from my perspective on Thanksgiving at 32. And it's improved. It's much improved. Blackberry lemonade, delish. It's only now, and I think moving forward, the further we move away from this particular bubble in time, and I'm talking about from the, you know, from the assassination attempt, okay, from Butler, Pennsylvania, till Donald Trump takes his hand off the Bible and becomes the 47th president. It's going to be difficult for us to assess really just what an historic window in time for American history that this particular window will be, this particular snapshot in the national scrapbook. I think historians, the honest historians, are going to be looking, speaking of historians, kind of takes me to academics. The Georgia State College and University System will no longer be factoring DEI as part of their application process. You're not going to see that at the state colleges and universities in Georgia no more. They've gone unwoke. They're dismissing that. But anyway, I think the honest, the intellectually honest historians will look at this and rank it among some of the more important and seminal, what's the word I'm looking for, sea changes in American politics and in American history. And I think that it should be looked at, it should be looked upon favorably, because I think it's going to open us up to a whole level, a whole new level, and much deserved level of freedom, of liberty, of prosperity, of security, of a softening in our culture, in our discourse. It's going to take a while, and there's going to be pushback from the people who've benefited and profited from things being the way they have been over the last 15, 20 years. But we're going to change it. We can change it. We have the opportunity like we've never had before, and we can't lose this momentum. We simply cannot. But there are plenty of those guys still embedded in government. There's plenty of Hydra operatives still embedded in the machine that can make trouble, that can slow walk, that can cause problems. And they have to be rooted out and removed. And we got to work on that. We've just got so much work to do. Getting Donald Trump in, you know, at this point now, that was the easy part. Now comes, you know, where we really have to dig in. And we got to produce. You know what? I started this. I'm going to share something with you. Ordinarily, I do this on Sunday mornings. I get out of bed about 8:30 or 9, roll around for a minute, see what's happening with the news, and then I come over here to the desktop, and I get everything powered up, and blah 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 blah, yakety schmackety. I get off to it. Well, I didn't do that this Sunday. As a matter of fact, even though it's only been like about 50 minutes into the show, This is Wednesday now. I started this on Monday night, and I did about 50 minutes of it. And I said, okay, I'll finish it up tomorrow. So Tuesday rolls around, and I didn't do a damn thing, man. Zip. I just kind of like hung out. I made hamburgers. That was what I did. I had Spam and biscuits for breakfast and hamburgers with waffle fries for dinner. That was it. Then I went to bed and I rolled around. And then I got up today about 8 o'clock, 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and started moving laundry through and getting ready, fixing to get ready, as we say down south. I'm getting ready to get ready to start on the turkey legs. We've got to get those browned up. But this is Wednesday before Thanksgiving, man. That's where we're at now. And this evening, it's still a little bit before. It's about 15 till 12, so we're still in the morning, technically, so I'm going to get this knocked out, and it will be posted and up this afternoon. Thanksgiving, it's here. Did I tell you guys what I'm doing? It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. My daughter, yesterday, we're just going to talk. But I do have to tell you what, before we start talking, because I'm feeling kind of chatty. Where did I see it? Jack Smith. I know we talked about Jack Smith. Just made a motion to dismiss all that crap that was never going to stick anyway. Let me look through here. The ceasefire that Donald Trump promised is now implemented about 2 months before he takes office. You know what it's been? Seriously, there have just been all these different things. All these different things that have happened since Donald Trump won the election. Positive things. Gas prices are coming down. Stock market's booming, okay? So your IRAs, your retirement accounts, are starting to look a lot better. And they will continue to look better. Better than they have in the last 4 years. And you got 4 years to build on it. So, you know, things are looking good. And you remember, I guess it was Monday when we were talking. I was wondering where Cammy and Tim were. Well, hold on to your damn selves. Here's something from Kamala. She did a Twitter thing the other day, I guess yesterday, and it's just being demolished all over the internet. Let me play it for you. You tell me what she sounds like.
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th. And you have the same purpose that you did. And you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you.
Now, the last I had heard, and this was a couple days ago, and I can't even remember where it was, somewhere on the worldwide interweb, that she was in Hawaii. She was on vacation in Hawaii, I guess spending the holidays there. I'm not real sure about that part. Unburdening a whole bunch of wine boxes of their content, I'm sure. But, hey, look, you know what? It's cool. Everybody knew she didn't have a chance at winning. She had to have known. Deep down inside, she had to have known that she and Tim both were going to get their asses waxed. And they spent almost $10 million a day for 90 days. $9.3 million every day from July 21st till, I guess, maybe November 4th. $9.3 million every damn day. And they got crushed. 3,242 counties in the United States. She won 382. That's it. So, I mean, it's somewhere along the line, she had to look at herself in the mirror or in the reflection of you know, something, and said, we're not going to make it. We may as well just have, they may as well have just thrown that money out into the street. which is essentially what they did to, for all intents and purposes. They just scattered it everywhere, threw it all over the place, and it didn't do any good at all. It did not do any good. Unbelievable. Undamn believable. But anyway, so I don't even know what this thing was. I don't even know what this meant. And a lot of people have been chewing her up on the internet over it. And yeah, she probably should have just shut up. I mean, at least Walls has been smart enough to... Has he said anything? Has he been anywhere? Taylor Swift concert with Trudeau? No, I'm just... I don't know. Maybe not. It's hard to say. Anyway, Walt strikes me as kind of a Taylor Swift fan. These guys still don't know what to do. They still are... They're still in the shock and awe of this unbelievable schlongen, this spanking, this de-pantsing. I mean, it's just been terrible. And the other day, and everything he does, everything he's done since winning the election has gone towards Democrat and liberal left-wing heads exploding. Look how they responded to his cabinet picks. Unbelievable. Well, the other day, he says, this is so funny. I love this one. President-elect Donald Trump, I picked this up on Breitbart the other day, is considering, and he can, and I got a feeling he's going to, President-elect Donald Trump is considering rearranging White House press briefings in a move that could leave the establishment media outlets out to dry. Instead of hostile legacy media outlets, Trump could seat new media hosts like Megyn Kelly, for example, or Joe Rogan. Donald Trump Jr. revealed the plan Monday on his podcast, Triggered with Donald Trump Jr., and he was there with Michael Knowles. And Michael Knowles asks, if Caroline Leavitt is looking at the new press briefing room chart, maybe it's time to reorder that chart and maybe take away some people's seats. And Don Jr. says, well, we're going to break some news here. I literally had this conversation with, I was flying back. I was on the plane with my father. And I think he was coming back from the SpaceX launch. And we were talking about the podcast world and some of our friends and Rogan and guys like you. And he revealed that Don Sr. said, it's a great idea, Don. So, that may be something in the works. Now, I haven't heard any rumbles out in the establishment media hustings or the hinterlands about any of this or in their ivory towers, but this could be something big. And again, you know, this guy, he has a really good, solid, practically unbeatable head game. I mean, he's got it together up there. He knows almost intuitively, and I said this when he was president last time, that he is probably the greatest, most gifted, intuitively gifted psychologist the world has ever known. Look at how easily he can get things done. He has an understanding of whoever it is, whether it's business, whether it's policy, whether it's foreign affairs. He has a really good, solid lineup, a really good, solid book on whoever it is that he's negotiating with. And it's and a lot of things I think he does to keep people off balance. I think there's probably going to be a shakeup, and some of these guys, these entitled networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, Fox, all of them, you know, that first two or three rows are probably going to be rearranged. And they're going to get mad about it. They always do, candy asses, little crybabies. And they'll talk their smack, but there's nothing they can do about it. And they can also, by the way, they cannot deny that it is not self-inflicted. These people don't deserve those positions just because it's ABC. They don't have any respect for the president. They don't have any respect for the press room. And, you know, it's just, I think it'll work and I think it'll be great. And even if he doesn't do it, think of all the heartburn it's going to cause over the next couple of months. I know. I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, and you guys remember earlier in the show when I was talking about, what were we talking about? It's been over 3 days. I have no. The holidays with family. You know, it. And again, there are going to be some people here. There are going to be some people. They're still in the feels about this. They're not happy. And Joy Reid, that's who I'm thinking about. It was Joy Reid. And the, I don't know where she's at, CNN, MSNBC, wherever she is. She's the black girl with the platinum blonde hair, which has got to be some kind of cultural appropriation that nobody wants to say. Nobody wants to talk about. She said, maybe just don't go around your Trump-supporting relatives over the holidays. Just shun them for Thanksgiving. And I thought, you know what? Okay. It is not our choice. We can look past things enough, and I know you can. I know you can. And I'm sure there are probably some people on the Trump side that really want to gloat because, you know, they stuck the knives to this cat for 8 years, and look what he did. A landslide victory. He came back and showed everybody. They impeached him twice. They went insane. But Joy Reid says, boycott your Trump family holidays. Don't go around them. Don't talk to them. Don't engage with them. Don't do any of that. Just don't. Just go to Blue Sky. Get in your echo chambers and tell everybody, you know, tell each other next time, you know, the problem was we weren't socialist enough. We weren't left-wing kook enough. We've got to keep pushing that. And that's what you're doing. Honest to God, that's what you're doing. 40%, it was a poll they did a couple of days back, 40% of the people in this poll saw Kamala Harris as the leader in 2028 for the Democrat presidential nominee. And I thought, you know what? Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just go ahead, man. Just go ahead. Keep running that train. And I don't, and that's all I see is doubling down. There's been a little bit of talk. There's been a little bit of introspection from some of the more intellectually honest people on the left. But to tell you the truth, I don't want these cats seeing where they went wrong. I want them to just keep on doing what they're doing because here's what's going to happen. They're going to self-invalidate, just like they're self-deporting, just like the illegal aliens are starting to self-deport, just like the swamp is starting to self-drain. These guys will just self-invalidate themselves. And I don't know how much more they can do. Like I said, 3,242 counties, they win 382. Come on. All those red, all those states where you had the Democrat governors that have completely screwed the moose, they went for Trump. A lot of them. So anyway, back to Thanksgiving. Joy Reid says that the people, the Harris voters are afraid of people who support Trump. I don't know why. I'm not even going to get into it. And nobody's immune. less than 200 yards from where I'm at, talking to you right now. There's a friend of mine I've known for 50-some years. He was madder than a wet hen when the election was over. And like a lot of guys, you know, immediately after the election, they go on. He took to social media to start talking about it. And you know what? First Amendment says he can, and that's totally cool. But, you know, there was some name-calling. There was some stuff. But this evening, I'm going to text him, and I'm going to make sure that he knows that he has a place to eat Thanksgiving. You know, he's like me. He's a single guy. Old man. His kids are out of state, and they got their lives too. But anyway, he's going to know. Now, whether he takes that or not, I'm not going to force the issue, but I am going to make him aware that just like every Thanksgiving the last 8 years, 10 years, he has a place at this table. And I'm not a great guy for doing this. I'm not noble. I'm not a humanitarian. I'm not a hero. He's my buddy of 50 years. I don't care. And like I told you guys, don't take politics seriously. That's why you see all this heartburn. That's why you see all this heartache and upset and tumult over the holidays, especially after an election like the one a campaign season like the one that we just went through. Okay? It's over. One way or another, it's over. And this goes back again. I'm not going to take him seriously. I'm not going to take him seriously. I would have invited him regardless of what he said. But again, you can't force this kind of stuff. You can extend that olive branch. You can extend that hand. And then, you know, it's either accepted or it's rejected. Drinking ice water today. I've been on an ice water kick. So do what you're going to do, man. Have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. I got to go upstairs and I got to cook up the brine. I've got 9 turkey legs that I'm gonna be smoking. We're going to brine them overnight. I defrosted them yesterday and defrosted the turkey breast yesterday. Not going to do too much to it. It's already cooked. I'll just heat it up. But it's a nice 5-pound turkey breast I got from Sam's. So I figured that, some cowboy beans, some roasted red potatoes, dressing, gravy, biscuits, the whole schmear. We're going to have a terrific time. And I hope you guys have a terrific time, man. And again, you know, so much to be thankful for. So much. I know I personally, every day, 2 or 3 times a day. And it's not fire insurance. I'm not doing it just to be on the safe side. I'm doing it because I really mean it. I've meant it every day since I made that commitment to pray. Because like I said, you know, he understands. He knows. Now, you can articulate to him, you know, in that individual, that personal relationship that you have. But he knows. And I know he knows. And he knows I know he knows. And I know he knows I know he knows I know. So I can just say thank you, and he understands. ACP is heard here kind of sporadically on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. We're going to get back into it, man. Just hang in there. We're going to be cool here really, really soon. And Thursdays, but not this Thursday, on the on Patriot Nation Radio. And we're going to be on Blog Talk with Patriot Nation till January 31st, and that is when Blog Talk Radio ends its operations. And we're really sad about that because 10 years on Blog Talk. 10 years on Blog Talk, man, that's unbelievable. Absolutely undaggone believable. It's a hell of a run. And we're going to ride that train till it runs out of tracks on January 31st. So I'm going to go ahead and put this thing out there, and I hope you guys have a safe and a joyous and a peaceful and a tranquil, happy Thanksgiving. We've got so much to be thankful for, and I am certainly thankful for my listeners and the support that I've gotten from you guys over the years and the emails. Even the brickbats, man, telling me where you think I'm wrong. It's still cool. I appreciate it because somebody's listening to me, and that's why I wanted to do this. I thought I had something to say, and I thought there would be people who agree with it, and it turns out I was right. Happy Thanksgiving to every single one of you all. May God bless and keep you. May God bless the United States. We'll see you next time when we take a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. Take good care.
About the seventh son in the whole round world, there is only one, and I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. The one to call the seventh son.